Cape Talk.
The Political Desk.
We're going to be chatting to Professor Andre Duvenage from the Northwest University on the Political Desk this morning. But there's a particular clip that I would like to play for you, and this deals with the entire Malusi Gigaba saga going on. And this sheds a little bit of light on that particular saga. And here's the clip. Take a close listen to this.
This issue with Malusi Gigaba. Let me quote from the judgment. And one of the things that came out of that judgment in October last year is that the judge ruled, for example, in one part of the judgment, he says the minister in his own handwriting was talking about approval we had granted was suspended until further notice. Now, you have to ask the question, if he was suspending an approval, that would now be given into the future, what was he suspending? Because he'd already given it. Remember, his whole explanation around this fireblade thing was that he had never given the approval, but at the same time, in his own handwriting, he wrote they'd suspended it. How can you suspend something you've never given? The judge said this explanation was nonsensical and palpably untrue. Then there was the issue of the minutes, right, where he said it looked like this was an internal note prepared by the Oppenheimers, when in fact that very those minutes were noted by officials in the Department of Home Affairs, the DDG specifically. So the minister should obviously have known. And again, the judge found that denial was uncreditworthy. So when he says there's a campaign to destroy him and demonize him, I'm sorry, we don't buy it. And you have been given an opportunity to answer. All you need to do now is do the honorable thing. That's if you have any honor left in your bones, Mr. Minister.
Professor Andre Duvenage from the Northwest University. Good morning, Professor, and welcome to the show again.
Good morning. Nice talking again.
Professor, will Ramaphosa fire Gigaba? I mean, we've laid it out clear there. That's the ruling of the court. So will he fire Gigaba?
Yes, I think there's enough evidence and support for Mr. Ramaphosa to fire Mr. Malusi Gigaba. And I have no doubt that if we analyze his situation and we look at the illegal passports, you look at things like the sex tape at the moment and the court ruling you refer to, as well as his bigger history, the contact with the Guptas, the whole thing of state capture. I think Mr. Ramaphosa is in a good position to fire Mr. Gigaba. And we also know that Mr. Gigaba, together with Batamile Dlamini and Nomvula Mokonyane, are all parts of what we refer to as the Zuma Group. And I think Mr. Ramaphosa would like to get rid of them the sooner the better. But he need to do it in such a way that he keep his position on the so-called political moral high ground. In that sense, he's a very clever politician.
Professor Andre Duvenage from Northwest University, a political analyst, chatting to us about whether or not Gigaba should be fired. So will the drama around Gigaba affect the ANC's vote in next year's election then if he is fired?
Well, at the moment, there are so many factors that can influence the voting patterns in South Africa and with regard to the ANC. We are thinking about the whole Zuma-Ramaphosa fight that is still prominent within the ANC. We think about the economy. We think about the role of the tripartite alliance in terms of the election, the possibility of new parties, either a worker party and or the so-called structure that is established here in Potchefstroom, the Mayabuye African Congress. All these can have an impact. Now, we need to put Malusi Gigaba within that context. He has a bit of influence. I have no doubt about it. He is seen as one of the, let's say, top 10 people within the structures of the ANC during the Zuma times. So, yes, he will have some influence. But if this is going to be decisive, that is an open question. It will all depend on what is happening to him at the one side and how he will align or realign with political forces either on the inside of the ANC or on the outside.
Professor, why is it so difficult, in a situation like this where the courts have already made their decision and found their decision? Do you think that Malusi Gigaba will fight back, seeing that he has already said that he wants to be the president?
I have no doubt that he's going to fight back. That was part of the Zuma group on all levels and within all structures, that they will fight back until the bitter end. We are seeing that also in the province with regard to Mr. Supra Moamopelo here in Northwest. And I have no doubt that he would like to survive politically, but at the moment I cannot see him surviving. My honest take on the situation is that Mr. Ramaphosa is in a position to get rid of him, and that is most probably going to happen. There is enough evidence against him, and I think that he is probably, for Mr. Ramaphosa, a difficult force in cabinet, and he would like to get a strong cabinet and prepare for the elections.
And if that does happen, because I think the president has got 10 days left to make his final decision, and I see that the DA is also putting a lot of pressure on the president to get rid of Malusi Gigaba. If that happens, who will be the likely follow-up for Malusi Gigaba?
Well, that's going to be difficult. The ANC has such a reservoir of people from which they can choose. And at this point, there's also another dynamic playing out, and that is an attempt to make the cabinet smaller. We have by far a too big cabinet, and I think maybe we are only going to see a form of internal rationalization. I think that is aligned with the strategy of the Ramaphosa government, and to contain financial expenditure. We must always take into consideration that the finances of the state is by no means in a good situation at the moment. So I'm expecting a bit of rationalization and repositioning from within the existing cabinet.
Turning our thoughts from the Malusi Gigaba saga, and as you said, rightfully so, that you know there's enough evidence to have him fired, and I think basically in the entire process he's just hung himself up on this particular thing. Let's turn to the DA, and how will the DA be affected by the public spat between the party and Dalil, what we've seen sort of played out over the last 18 months in Cape Town?
Well, I think there are two processes with regard to Patricia Dalil. The one was the political process, and this is playing itself out at the moment. There are questions about the future of Patricia Dalil. At least I am seeing three scenarios at this point. There are rumors that she may reestablish the so-called Independent Democrats. Then there's strong rumors that she is in negotiations with the ANC for a position, and some is telling me that there are even positions identified for her. And then there's also the possibility of aligning with the EFF. Personally, I'm thinking her best option at this point from her position is to align with the ANC. Now, that is the political line. It did hurt the Democratic Alliance, but not to the extent that I believe they are going to lose the election in the Western Cape. The second process now is the legal process. And my understanding is that in terms of the legal content, it's going to be very difficult for Patricia Dalil, and her scenario may be completely different from what she is expecting in political terms. So I think that is, for her, the difficult phase now, the legal process. And I'm not sure if political weight alone can balance that legal process. I am predicting difficult times ahead of her.
We have a look at Patricia Dalil, and as you say, that you know she's probably in the process of either aligning herself with the ANC or even going further than that with the EFF and becoming an activist again. And she has basically said that she's on that active trail to watch the city of Cape Town, and any wrong move that they make, she'll be up there to sort of take them down. With Patricia Dalil going on, you know, sort of after this, and the DA in the Western Cape, where should the DA focus? Because they're pushing their focus now to Malusi Gigaba, and I think that they've actually got a lot more to sort of worry about.
Yes, no doubt they are playing politics at the moment, and also election politics. By putting the focus on Malusi Gigaba, they try to avoid the negative criticism with regard to Patricia Dalil, what happened to Helen Zille, etc. But yes, I think at this point in time, the DA should focus on their election campaign. They should focus on policy issues, and they must try to get out of these controversial phase of politics. Now, we know the Democratic Alliance has a very strong organizational structure, and I think it is time for them to get their structures to work in a proper way. It was a difficult time for the DA. There are questions about decisions at the highest level. There are questions about leadership. And I think that the DA at this point in time need to consolidate their position, especially among the so-called coloured community, because that community is very critical in the Western Cape. And then secondly, also in your urban areas, especially your black people in urban areas, they are critical, and Mr. Ramaphosa is focusing on them. He is currently busy with a similar campaign in terms of the Free State.
And that's Professor Andre Duvenager from the Northwest University chatting to us. That's our political analyst, giving us insights into whether or not Cyril Ramaphosa, the president, should be firing Malusi Gigaba. There's enough evidence. There's enough going around, and he's been implicated in quite a number of scandals and quite a number of issues in order to get him fired by the president. But I think the president needs to make sure that Malusi Gigaba, just by his pure nature, if you look at a number of the interviews, it's always ducking and diving here and there. So he will definitely appeal that if it does come around to him being fired. And then, of course, the DA, will this whole saga with Patricia de Lille, will they be affected negatively in 2019? And